I hope you have your Bible and will turn with me to Jonah chapter 2. Jonah chapter 2 is where we're going to be. You know, last week Matt kicked us off, did a great job kicking us off with our series on Jonah. And his goal was to remind you that this is not a children's story, that this is a real story that took place. And last week we found God giving Jonah a job, and not only did Jonah go, I'm not going to do it, but when God said, you go over here to Nineveh and preach, he loaded up and went the opposite direction. It was like, no way. And I can get a little bit, maybe his thinking behind it, because the Ninevites, which were Assyrians, were a very mean, a very cruel people, and had been very mean and very cruel to the Israelites at wartime and through prisoners and just things along those lines. But Jonah's like, I'm not going. And we wound up last week, you saw Jonah get on a boat, sail away, a storm comes, God provided the storm. They finally, if you remember the story, they pitched Jonah over the side because Jonah said the storm's not going to go down until you do, and they did. Jonah was giving up his life. He said, I'm just going to die here. And instead of dying at the end of last week's lesson, Jonah was swallowed by a big fish. And that's where we pick it up. And when you get to chapter 2, you have him inside the fish. And we get these pictures from children's stories of maybe what it would have looked like. Maybe something like this. I love this. This was a picture that I pulled up on a children's story off the internet. And here's Jonah. Look at all this nice room that he's got. He's got him a little candle in there with a light, you know, and things are nice. You know, he's got a little chance to pray. And he's above the water, not even below the water. And in the next picture, this one's even better. I mean, look at all the space he's got. He's got a desk. He's doing a little writing. He's got a place where he's been doing laundry. And this is so far from reality. And what I want you to understand for a second is I want you just in your head to think about what it would have been like inside the great fish. What it would have been like. Now, first thing you would have to know is that it is very dark, all right? There's no light. It is very dark. And with darkness, there is no sense of time. Anybody else get that? So how many times do you wake up in the night, because I do, to sit up and look at the clock because you're like, is it 2 o'clock? Is it 3 o'clock? Is it time to get up? Because you have no sense of time. Now, Jonah didn't have a watch on. He didn't have an alarm clock. So I want you for a second just to think how long just an hour in pitch dark must have felt. And how scary, how just without hope that must have been for just an hour. There's no way for him to tell time. He doesn't know if it's daytime. He doesn't know if it's nighttime. And this goes on for 3 days. Now, real quickly, another thing you need to understand about this story, we often go, hey, maybe I could have handled it for 3 days. Now, can I just remind you, nobody told Jonah that it was going to be 3 days. He had no clue. He thought he was there until the end of time, until the end of his time. Does that make sense? And so how hopeless does he have to feel? How alone does he have to feel inside this fish with it so dark? And it's got to stink. And I don't know if he comes in and out of consciousness enough to know what's going on. I really don't know what's going on in Jonah's head. But I've got to think, what I do know is Jonah feels as far from God as you can get. You literally, Jonah doesn't feel like he could get any further from God than where he is under the sea, inside the belly of a fish. And it's absolutely incredible for me to think that Jonah's sitting there just simply thinking, hey, slow death, I'm going to die here. And when you get to chapter 2 is the chapter that if you're reading the book of Jonah, you just kind of skip over it. It's just kind of like, oh, it's just a prayer. You know, hey, I want to get back to the narrative. I want to get back to the story to see what happens. Chapter 2 of Jonah may very well be the most important chapter of the four. It may very, very well be the most important chapter in a lot of the prophets, because we learn some stuff, not only about Jonah, but about God and about ourselves in chapter 2, that if we skip it, we have done such a huge disservice to to God and to ourselves. Now, I want you to notice, here's Jonah, and if you've got your Bible, look with me in chapter 2, verse 1. This is just, there's so much power in this verse. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord. Now, I want to remind you, Jonah didn't pray in the storm. He didn't pray when the captain woke him up once and said, hey, everybody get up and pray to their God. Let's see if we can make this storm. We have no record of Jonah praying. He goes over the side of the boat to be thrown in and what he thinks is drowned at sea. No record of Jonah praying. It is not until he is inside the fish, as low as you can go, that he decides, I need to pray. And notice what he says. In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he what? Answered me. From deep in the realms of the dead, I called for help. Your Bible may say Sheol. The word there is hell. Jonah literally says, I am in hell. I am so far from God that there is no further distance than I can be from God right now. And I'm going to take a shot and I am going to cry out to the Lord and maybe he will answer me. And you know what we find out? That God hears him. So when you're looking at your outline, and we've got some points I want you to catch on here. First thing that you got to understand that we learned from chapter 2 in Jonah, that God always hears our cries of distress. He heard Jonah's, he hears ours. He hears our cries for distress. And I love that. I love the fact that he does. It's never too late. It doesn't matter how far you feel like you are from God. It's never too late to cry out to God. It's never too late to throw up that last minute prayer of going, man, I've got nowhere else to go. I might as well pray. And Jonah cried out to the Lord in distress, and the Lord heard him. Now, what I hope you do is I hope that at some point you realize I don't have to wait until I get inside the belly of a fish. I hope you don't have to wait until you get so low that you go, I've just got nowhere else to go. I might as well pray. I hope you pray in the storm, and I hope you pray in the sea, and I hope you pray before you ever get to that point. But the point that I want you to catch is no matter where you are and no matter how bad it gets, you can always pray. And God always hears. We kind of laugh at old Adam. Remember Adam and Eve when they sinned and they tried to hide from God in the garden? We always kind of get tickled at that, don't we? It's like, nobody can hide from God. That's the most ridiculous thing. Come on, Adam and Eve. They were embarrassed because of their sin. And sometimes I think Jonah was the same way. I have disobeyed the Lord so far, he didn't want to hear from me. But what do we find out? He does. In fact, when we're talking about always, God always hears our distress, I want you to also understand that he also hears us when we're guilty. That it's not just when you know, things are going bad. When we've made a mistake and when we're guilty, he even hears us when we're guilty. And nothing makes us more distressed than thinking, hey, we have messed up. And sometimes we may think, kind of like Adam and Eve, we kind of hide from God. There's no reason for me to pray. God doesn't want to hear from me. You know what you're doing? You're hiding from God when you're thinking, God doesn't want to hear from me. And we pray even when we've messed up, and God hears our cries of distress. Man, that ought to make you feel good, because it does me. And here is Jonah. Sometimes when we hurt people, we think to ourselves they don't want to hear from us, and maybe they don't, but not God. Maybe you think, I've waited until things have gotten so bad that there's just no reason to pray. There's never that point. Sometimes in life, we think, man, I need to really clean up my life before I reach back out to God, and that's almost a little bit silly, don't you think? It's kind of like going, hey, I'm bleeding and need to go to the ER, but I need to get the bleeding to stop before I go. That's what the ER is for, right? Or it's like saying, hey, I really would like to go to the gym, but I kind of need to get in shape before I go. No, the gym is for going, and then you get in shape there. God says, you come to me in all of your whatever it is, all of your shame. You remember the story of the prodigal son in Luke 15. The father's love was always there. He never stopped loving his son. The boy just needed to return. And the boy didn't take a shower and clean up before he came home. He came home in all his filth and all his stench. And the father saw him there from the porch and ran to him. Not with arms crossed to go, I told you. But wrapped his arms around him and said, welcome home. God hears our cries of distress when we've been guilty. He also hears our cries of distress from anywhere. So here's Jonah inside the great fish. But I want you to understand that wherever you are, God is going to hear you. It doesn't matter. You can be sitting in your car. Sometimes we have people, and it's totally fine. We have people that come by the building and go, can we go sit in the auditorium or the sanctuary and pray? And I know what they're thinking. They're thinking, I feel close to God, and maybe God will hear me, and God will hear me better if I'm inside of a church building. I want you to understand, God hears you wherever you are. You don't have to be inside of a church building. You can be sitting in your car. You can be walking at the park. You can be inside the belly of a fish. God hears you everywhere and anywhere. One of my favorite places to pray are hospitals. Most hospitals have a chapel somewhere. And it's not because it makes you closer to God, but very few people use the chapels at the hospital. And they're always so quiet. And always when I'm there, I kind of stick my head in and just sit down for a few minutes. And they're just really quiet places. Anytime you can find a quiet place, it's a great place to pray. And even if it's a loud place, it's a great place to pray because he hears us from anywhere. The second thing that I'd like you to catch about Jonah is that God answers us and can deliver us even from impossible circumstances. That's point number two, even from impossible circumstances. Look in verse 5 and 6 if you got your Bibles. The engulfing water, here's how Jonah feels. He says, the engulfing waters threatened me and the deep surrounded me, seaweed wrapped around my neck. Oh, don't you know he stunk? You know, I've cleaned fish. I've cleaned fish before, and I've never cleaned a fish and thought that was a lot of fun. It's disgusting. And he's in the midst of all of that. But he says, seaweed was wrapped around my head. The roots of the mountain I sank down. The earth beneath barred me in forever. Do you see what he's saying? As far as I can go, I was stuck. That's what he's saying. I was wrapped up and I was stuck. Jonah thought he was going to die in the sea when he was thrown over to the side. And instead, a big fish comes and swallows him. And Jonah has a 11th hour prayer, if you want to call it that. He throws up a Hail Mary pass, hoping God will hear him, and does. Have you ever watched and noticed in movies, your action movies, with about 20 minutes left, there's going to be something happens to where you think, oh no, it's not going to end well. The heroes are going to die. The people I'm rooting for are not going to make it. It's just bad. And something happens to where just at the last moment when you think it can't get any worse, it is over for them all, the Calvary shows. That's what happened with Jonah. God's the Calvary and he shows up. God's the Calvary and he shows up. No matter how bad those circumstances get, God does hear us. Look at the third thing on your outline. God often answers our cries of distress, but not always the way we want. You see, God heard Jonah, and he answered his prayer, but he didn't answer his prayer like he wanted to. Lord, Jonah's actually going to say at the end of the chapter, give me another shot. Lord, give me one more try. And God doesn't beam him from the belly of a fish to the beaches of Nineveh. No, he's got other plans. God's going to answer his prayers kind of in stages. It'll answer your prayer, but it's going to take a while to get it done. Jonah says, Lord, save me. And God uses a big fish to transport Jonah all the way to Nineveh. Notice Jonah doesn't say, Lord, just leave me in here for 3 days where I realize that I've really messed up. And God doesn't tell him that either. Jonah doesn't even know what is going on. But I want to encourage you not to disregard partially answered prayers. Because sometimes God takes several partially answered prayers to answer the prayer you want. We have this theology sometimes that just says we ought to pray and there it is. God just opens everything up like we've asked. And sometimes God uses little things along the road to get us to where he wants us to be. And they're just partially answered prayers that wind up being. That's what happened with Jonah. God used a storm. God prepared a storm. God used a boat. God used a fish. He got Jonah where he needed to be. Sometimes in life, we're going to pray for stuff, and you're going to go, why didn't God answer my prayers? Oh, he's answered some little ones. He's getting you there. Be patient, all right? As a young man who was about 19 years old, I wanted more than anything else to become a preacher, go into ministry, come to Sunset, this sort of thing. And I didn't have, I was a little immature at the time. I was very young at the time. And I just didn't have the connections that I needed. And even though I was praying about it, I just really wanted the next day for somebody from Sunset to call, hey, we've heard that you're thinking about Sunset. Get yourself down here. We got everything lined out. It didn't work that way. In fact, when I was about 19 years old, wanting to come to Sunset, my wife, who was my girlfriend at the time, was in a church in New Mexico visiting with her family when she heard some elders visiting with her dad saying, hey, we're looking for kind of a part-time youth minister for the summer here in Clarendon, Texas. Do you know anybody? And here's Shy, little Lee, who doesn't speak a lot, that spoke up that day and said, you need to reach out to my boyfriend. I really, really think he'd be good at that. And you can see how God worked by having some elders that called me that put me in a position to kind of get some grounding and some understanding about ministry before I ever got. And I met a guy named Phil Stroud who said, I've been to Sunset. Let me help you get there. God answered prayers, but they were little baby steps on getting me there. And it took me a couple of years to get there. But you know what? God answered my prayer. God answered Jonah's prayer. God answers your prayers, but he doesn't always answer them like we want. Sometimes he takes these little steps to get us where he wants us to be. And I want you to understand, Jonah learned that, and we can learn that. Make sure you catch number four here. God loves to hear from you. This is kind of a big one right here, and I'll read it slow. God loves to hear from you, and when you realize this, your prayers will include praise and thanksgiving. Catch this last part. Whether answered or not. So when Jonah finally realizes that God has heard his prayer, I want you to notice, God didn't tell Jonah, hey, give it 3 days, I'll get you where you need to be. God hadn't told Jonah he's going to save him. But here's what Jonah says. Notice down here, verse 9, with shouts of grateful praise, I will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. You give me another shot, Jonah says. Salvation comes from the Lord. He didn't know God's going to answer his prayers, but he decided, I'm going to give God praise right here because God has heard my prayer. When you realize that God hears your prayers from wherever you are, whatever he's doing, you can't help but say, thank you. Thank you. I praise you. I give you thanksgiving for that. God loves to hear from you. God absolutely loves to hear from you. There is never a time that you bow your head to pray that God rolls his eyes and goes, not him again. Not them again. God loves the sound of your voice. He loves, no matter how many times you pray, no matter how many times you ask for something, he loves to hear from you. Whether you have had a great week or whether you've had a really bad week, whether you're crying out to him in praise and thanksgiving or whether you're crying out to him in distress because you just hadn't done everything you probably needed to be doing in his world. He loves to hear from you. Our first holiday as the Morgan family without our oldest son was tough. I remember specifically, he was in the Army. And it was going to be his first time when he was not home for holidays. We'd never done a holiday season of Thanksgiving and Christmas without our oldest son. But this year we were. I made a mistake. I think I may have said that. Made a mistake one time asking Lee to lead the family prayer for Thanksgiving. And she got halfway in and just started bawling. And I knew what it was. It was tough. And I remember on that day, later that day, we had gone as a family somewhere, and I stopped to fill up the car with gas. And as I was filling up the car with gas, my phone started ringing in my pocket, and it said unknown. And I did what everybody else does. I immediately stuck it back in my pocket and thought, I don't want to hear from a salesman on Thanksgiving Day. And about 2 seconds later, something said, you need to answer that phone. And so I answered. I said, what salesman's calling on Thanksgiving Day? And it was our son, Taylor, who had said, don't expect to hear from me on Thanksgiving. They told us we wouldn't be able to call. It was the sweetest voice I had ever heard when I heard the words, hey, Dad, man, talk about some peace in my heart. And as I handed a phone to his mama, that's how God is. God loves when you pray to him. He loves to hear from you. Look at this last little part. I want you to notice one more verse, and we're going to close this out. Look in verse 8. Read this with me. Those who cling to worthless idols turn away from God's love for them. Those who cling to worthless idols. And everybody kind of goes, yeah, you can't have an idol. You can't have anything before God. I think Jonah was realizing, I got an idol. Jonah had an idol. You know what his idol was? It was himself. An idol is anything that you put above God. And you know what Jonah had put above God? Himself. God had told him to do something, and he said, no, I'm going to do what I want to do. And Jonah realizes, hey, I got to get rid of this idol because I can't experience the love of God as long as I am putting myself above God. And you know, if you're going to be honest, and if I'm going to be honest for just a second, I do this all the time. Sounds like us, even today. I know God wants me to volunteer for this, but how about this one? I know God wants me to be a giver, but how about this one? I know God wants me to give my time, but I know God says I shouldn't do that, that that's a sin, but everybody's doing it. I know God wants me to give my life to him and to be baptized, but and what we've done is we've made ourselves an idol more important than God. Jonah finally says, verse 9, what I vowed to do, I'm going to do. Give me another shot. And you know what God's going to do? God's going to take Jonah, and he's going to take his big old fish, and he's going to swim him all the way to Nineveh. And that big fish next week, poor Jonah, he's been in the belly of a fish since last Sunday, and he's going to be there till next Sunday. That's a whole lot more than 3 days. But next Sunday, that big old fish is going to swim right up to the beach. Talk about luck, right? Man, the fact that he would swim right up to Nineveh, you can spell luck G-O-D if you want. That's probably the best thing. Swims him right up to where he was supposed to go, and a big fish gets a bellyache and vomits him out on the beach. And that's a little gross, too. I've always wondered to myself, so did Jonah, like, look at his clothes and his stench and go, this is disgusting? Because I'm thinking to himself, he probably didn't go, I'm going to go back in the water and wash off, because if it's me and I had just come from there, I'd be going, I am not getting back in that water. But we'll get there next week. Next week, we'll look at chapter 3. So we've had chapter 1, Jonah ran from God. Chapter 2, Jonah ran back to God. In chapter 3, you know what you're going to see? Jonah's going to run with God for a chapter. He's going to do what God told him to do, and it's a good chapter. And we'll pick up there next week. We're going to offer an invitation at this time. And I just want to encourage you, if you've been making yourself an idol and saying, hey, not God's will, but mine, maybe it's time for you to stop and tell God, I'm sorry about that. Maybe it's time for you to do whatever it is that's keeping you, so you can experience God's love again like he created it to be, like Jonah did. If you have a need, we encourage you to come as we stand and sing this song.